We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Go to Cameron, John, Richie, 94 WIP. Happy birthdays go out to two Eagles legends. 33 years old today for Mr. Nicholas Foles.
How's everyone doing?
How's everybody doing? Nick Foles, 33. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see how long he wants to keep playing if he is primarily a backup. He could certainly keep going for a few more years for sure. Maybe he gets another shot to start someday, but Foles, 33 today. And the Axeman, Jeremiah Trotter, if you want to wish Trotter a happy birthday on Twitter. Jeremiah is 45 years old today. All right, let's talk some more Eagles football with our next guest. He does a tremendous job covering the Eagles, of course, and runs the Go Birds page here on 94WIP.com/GoBirds. The season is over. It's wrap-up time. It's look-ahead time. It's review yesterday's press conference time and more with Mr. Elliot Shore-Parks. How you doing, Elliot?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
Well, bummed we're not previewing a playoff game, but it's not exactly a shock. Elliot, I want to get to the press conference yesterday, but let's start first with just Sirianni. He was on with Angelo 2 hours ago. We're going to replay the entire interview today at 12:45 on our show. After season one of Sirianni, are you more encouraged by his performance as the Eagles head coach or discouraged?
Yeah, I don't even think it's close. I mean, I think it's encouraged, right? I know, and congrats to you. You called the prediction right away on what they would be this year, but I don't think many people predicted they would be a playoff team, right? So by that alone, I think you have to be encouraged by that. I think the fact that he showed he was able to adjust to the personnel is extremely encouraging. But I also think probably the most encouraging part, and really what was probably the biggest question with him, was he was able to relate to that locker room. He was able to get them to play hard for him. He really won that locker room over. I mean, probably the main thing we talked about with Sirianni throughout the whole offseason was, would they take him seriously? Would they view him as a puppet, right? Is he too inexperienced for this job? And he wasn't. I mean, every step of the way, every button he pressed seemed to work. So I really don't think, look, no coach is perfect. After 1 year, you can never say anybody is like guaranteed going to be the guy for the next 5 years. We didn't feel that about Doug, and he won.
Well, let me ask you this question, Elliot. But why did just, 4 or 5 days ago in a playoff game, did Nick Sirianni play a completely incapable Jalen Reagor as often as he did? I mean, it just happened. Yeah. Why did he do that?
Right. I understand the Reagor thing. I get why people are fixated on it. He's been a disappointment. But they do not have any receiver on the roster, besides Devontae Smith, obviously, that is definitely better. Like, Quez Watkins is good. Like, Quez Watkins has played better than Reagor, but Watkins played, right? Like, I don't get who people want them to put in there.
Greg Ward and Kenneth Gainwell could have gotten snaps at Jalen Reagor.
Kenneth Gainwell is not a receiver, though. Kenneth Gainwell is not a receiver.
Neither is Jalen Reagor.
Greg Ward was not
healthy.
Jalen Reagor does not catch the ball. He does not catch the ball. So why? But, I mean, I don't get it, man.
Look, if you want to say just put literally anybody in there, like, I understand why we can say that. But from their perspective as, like, coaches and people that actually have to field a team, like, I can understand why they would feel more comfortable with Reagor playing the receiver role than Gainwell, who does not play the position.
Elliot, I saw that you gave both Nick and Jalen Fs for their Tampa playoff blowout performances.
Yeah.
Could you explain those grades?
Yeah, I mean, they were both horrendous, right? I don't think there was much positive at all to take from either their performances against Tampa Bay. And I know Jalen has caught a lot of the heat from that game, and rightfully so. He was bad, right? He did not play well. Sirianni deserves a ton of blame as well. I mean, the Tampa Bay defense came out with something, and he was unable to counterpunch. And I think Hurts' poor play played a role in that, obviously. But Sirianni does too. Like, Sirianni has to, you know, to quote coaches everywhere, like, has to put his players in a better position, and he didn't do that. And I also thought taking the ball to start the game was a mistake. I know he explained that to Angelo, and his reasoning is good, but I still felt it was a mistake. So overall, if we're going to give Sirianni's team credit for showing up in big moments this year, which they have a lot of the times, they were a complete no-show against Tampa, and he deserves blame for that.
How does Kyler Murray's playoff performance put Jalen Hurts' playoff debut in perspective?
Well, just because he was horrendous as well. I mean, it was his first playoff start, and if you look around the league this year, a lot of first-time playoff starters did not play well. Mac Jones didn't play well. Joe Burrow did, but Derek Carr didn't. You just talked about Kyler Murray. He struggled. Now, I think the difference with Kyler, though, is he has played at a really high level in the NFL, right, and mostly with passing the ball. So I think that is a difference. But ultimately, when it comes to Jalen Hurts' playoff performance, and I think for Sirianni and kind of the whole team, you can do this as well. Like, they were horrendous. They were outclassed. All those things are true. But it was their first time in the playoffs, and I think that needs to be mentioned and taken into consideration when talking about how they played.
Elliot Shore-Parks with us. All right, Elliot, let's get to the big question from your opinion, your perspective. Should the Eagles be locked in on Jalen Hurts in 2022 or open-minded to trying to upgrade at that position this offseason?
They should definitely be open-minded to trying to upgrade the position. Now, does that mean they should do it or will do it? No, right? I mean, I'm not going out there and trading for Kirk Cousins. I'm not trading, you know, I'm not drafting Malik Willis, right? Like, I would not do any, like, I wouldn't just upgrade just to try. But to say that they shouldn't be open to it is foolish. You have three first-round picks, right? You have an opportunity right now that you probably will never have again in terms of draft assets. And there's a ton of available good quarterbacks out there. I mean, people talk about, obviously, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and, you know, Deshaun Watson. But Jimmy Garoppolo is kind of intriguing to me. If Derek Carr is available, I think that's interesting. I don't know if I would definitely do it, but the quarterback is the most important position, and they have a ton of assets, so they need to at least be open to making a move.
Man, I would not go anywhere for Garoppolo, that's for sure. You wrote an article about this. You believe it's obvious that Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie are going to try to trade for a quarterback.
Yeah, that was my biggest takeaway from the game, is that if you watch both those teams, and I know one's Tom Brady and one is Jalen Hurts making his first playoff start, so clearly holding him to that standard is not fair. But I think we all know that if there's anything that Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie value, it's the quarterback position. They've shown it time and time again. And so now we're supposed to believe that when they have the biggest group of assets they've ever had, they're going to use those on positions that they've never valued. Like, I would probably use those picks on the defense. I would try to build up around Jalen Hurts. That's what I would do. It probably
I would,
is what
too.
You guys,
I right, thought but, it sounded like they were trying to present that plan in this
Yeah,
press
but
conference.
I'll say this. Independent of how they presented things or try to present things, Elliot, I agree with your point. I would put every dollar I own, I mean every one, on that I think the Eagles will try to get a different quarterback. They might not get one, but they are damn well going to try.
I think they know it's unlikely to happen.
They probably,
so
they probably
sort
do
of
know that.
Hedging their bets.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
But they're going to be in for it. They're going to give it a shot.
And that's my thing. Like, I agree with what you guys are saying. I think a lot of the fan base would. We don't get votes, right? And we've seen the track record of Howie and Lurie. It's so clear what their track record is. It's the quarterback position.
Yep.
That's how they use their assets. And to have this level of asset, and we think they're going to use it on a linebacker, like, they're not going to do it willingly. Yeah. They'll try to do something else before they do that.
Elliot, let's address a couple other areas of the team, big other issues to discuss. One thing I'm confused about, and help, maybe you can be helpful to kind of clear this up. So they got a huge cap number if they trade or cut Fletcher Cox, who clearly has become, I think, just an average player. So it doesn't seem like they can trade or cut him. But it also, we know 2 months ago, we know this basically because they didn't shoot it down yesterday when asked about it. They were in discussions with teams about trading Fletcher Cox. So what do they want to do? What is realistic to be able to do? Are they stuck with Fletcher Cox? And if so, why was it just 2 months ago before the trade deadline that they maybe almost traded him?
And why was it that 2 months before that they guaranteed all his money through 2026 or whatever it was?
Yeah, big mismanagement there. So what do you make of the whole Fletcher thing?
So I think that in terms of trying to trade him at the trade deadline, there's an obvious difference between trading him for something and cutting him because you're getting something in return. And I don't think they were just going to trade him for a six-round pick. Like, they were looking for a high-level asset, like a third, second-round pick type of thing. Now, they're probably not going to get that for Fletcher, and that's why he wasn't traded. So I think in a lot like the Jalen way, like, yeah, you're always looking to make moves if it's a better move for you than it is for the other team. So if they would have gotten a third or a second, they would have done it, and that's worth taking the cap hit. This offseason, I'm sure if someone offered them a third-round pick or a second-round pick for Fletcher, they'd probably do it. But since that's not going to happen, I think they'll bring him back. You're right, he's not the player he used to be, but he's still an above-average starter.
Even if, Elliot, even if they trade him, though, isn't it still a massive cap hit this offseason? Like, enormous.
It is, but it's a lot like the Carson thing where you take the cap hit to get the asset back. Like, the Eagles essentially took the cap hit to buy a first-round pick from the Colts in a roundabout way. So you can get a second or third round pick and all it takes is dead money cap space. Like, for a team that's probably still rebuilding, I think that's what they would do.
What is this team going to do with Brandon Brooks?
Well, I don't think he's going to be back. And if you heard Howie yesterday say it was important for him and the team to end the season healthy, I think it's clear that they didn't want him to get hurt so that they could cut him or move on from him. So it'll be interesting to see if they use a June 1st designation to spread the cap hit out, but he won't be back next year. Like, he'll be moved on in some capacity.
What about Miles Sanders?
Great question.
Yeah. Look, I think Miles is going to be back. I don't think they're going to pay him unless he was willing to take, you know, some really low-level team-friendly deal just to get some extra money, which, you know, honestly, if I were him, I would consider since he got a second-round salary the last few years. But they're not going to pay him. Maybe they'll trade him. But I think more than likely he's just back next year on the same contract.
How about Rager?
I don't think Rager's going to be back. But me and James disagree on this. I just don't see how you bring him back. I think it's better for both sides to move on. I think he's actually detrimental in some ways, like because they try to get him the ball. But look, the cap hit's not nice. It's not good if they move on from him. I think it costs them $4 million. So anything's possible. But I don't think he's on the roster in week one.
So you're saying they learned from the J.J. Arcega-Whiteside experience? Like, what, they just talked J.J. Arcega-Whiteside up yesterday.
The enforcer.
Yeah, the enforcer. Well, like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, 1 year ahead of Jalen Rager, he's still on the team. You know,
right,
so did they learn from that experience, and now they're going to cut both?
No, because J.J. can play special teams. And if you're going to be the fourth or fifth receiver on the roster, you have to be able to do something. We saw in that Tampa game, Rager can't play special teams. He can't really be a fourth or fifth receiver in the way Aguilar couldn't be. Like, you're not putting a first-round pick there. So I think J.J. is just easier to kind of hide him on the bench and have him play special teams. And it's just you can't do that with Rager.
I agree, I think that's
different.
Elliot, help us sort of understand the dynamics with the Eagles' salary cap, where it stands and where it could head in the next couple of months once they move pieces around. How much money could they have to spend in free agency?
Yeah, so I think right now they're at about $14 million, I believe, which is a lot of money. Like, with the way that they do things, as long as Jeffrey Lurie is willing to cut checks as signing bonuses and not his salary, then they can sign a lot of players with that money. Now, every year there's going to be moves they make to create more money, but there's not a ton of great options this year. Like, normally when the offseason ends, I go through the roster and I'm like, okay, you cut him to save $5 million, you cut him to save $8 million, and it quickly adds up. That's really not the case this year. Like, there's just not a lot of great options there where guys that you would cut and save money. So I think they'll end up with more money, and I think they have enough to do what they want, but I don't think that number is going to, like, triple by the time free agency comes here. I think it'll increase, but it's not going to be significantly different.
Elliot, great job covering the Eagles this season. It should be an unbelievable offseason with a lot of activity. We look forward to having you on the show every week still to talk about it. Again, great job. Everyone, continue to follow Elliot's work in the offseason, 94WIP.com/GoBirds, the Go Birds page. Thank you, Elliot.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, great stuff. Coming up, we take a spin back just 24 hours ago to yesterday when, after the season was over, Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni addressed a lot of issues, press conference, including the Jalen Hurts question, is he your quarterback? We will play for you, one by one by one by one, the answers they gave. You be the judge of whether you are convinced that they are convinced that Hurts is their guy, or do you think, as John and I do, no, they're actually pretty open-minded to moving on if they can find someone else. You be the judge. We'll play that audio next. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP. Hey, do you want to feel healthier in 2022? Do you want to be healthier in 2022? Of course you do. Then consider starting a program with Co-Pair, a company designed to help you lose weight and be your partner for total wellness. Co-Pair can provide you with food each week, specifically chosen for your diet, nutrition, and weight loss goals. Plus, and this is really key, this is really cool, they've got personalized coaching with Co-Pair. I speak with my coach, Kurt, once a week. We talk every Tuesday. He helps me better understand nutrition, exercise options, and all sorts of stuff to point me in the direction of better health. And what's also cool is you can do this from home. I do it from, well, actually, I normally do it when I'm in the car. Sometimes I've talked to Kurt from home. Bottom line is you don't have to go to a spot to do it. You don't have to go to a facility. You don't have to go to a, it's none of that stuff. You just do it from home. So it's so readily available for you to start at CoPairHealth.com. That's the website to check out, CoPairHealth.com. Get acquainted with all that they offer, all that it can do to help you, and then contact them directly, CoPairHealth.com. Seltzer's
that was on me, baby.
Seltzer's really on his game there.
That was on me.
Wow. Dead air. You know, it's not good for a radio show.
It's like,
show.
Yeah, you know, it happens.
You know, what are you going to do? Seltzer. Seltzer's just being Seltzer.
You're talking to me right before we come on.
Hey,
focus on what you're saying. And,
hey, coming up this segment, we're going to get to audio from yesterday. Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni, what they said about Jalen Hurts. You be the judge, how you interpret what they said about his status as the starting quarterback of the Eagles for 2022. Also, Twitter poll question of the day as we assess Sirianni today with the season now over. Which do you feel more about with Nick Sirianni as Eagles head coach after year one? More encouraged by what he did or discouraged by what he did? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and certainly weigh in on the phone lines as well. 215.
I got to jump in here real quick. I've been waiting to bring this up. Richie, you'll appreciate this. Mm-hmm. Yesterday after the show, Joe DeCameron comes into my little studio here at the end of the show, and he says, hey, I got a question for you.
You about to do me dirty?
Yeah. You just did me dirty.
Well, you did yourself dirty.
Good, I love this.
You didn't have
comes
news.
In and says, hey, how do I buy a banana?
Like, hold on. I know I go to a store.
You got into it.
It's
then,
like, what am I looking for?
Like, what are you talking about? How do you buy a banana? He's like, is it supposed to be mushy? Is it, what color is it
hold
supposed
to? Are you kidding me?
I swear to God.
This is real. So I had.
So how much mushiness are we talking about?
It's never
green, yellow.
I have, just not in a long time, and I just wanted to know. Like, I know it's not supposed to be too mushy or too hard, but like, what's the right feel for the banana? Because honestly, John, I had not bought a banana honestly probably in, I mean, at least 10 years. And you know what? Credit to me. I went to a store yesterday.
Wait, and bought
three bananas. Bought three of them.
What do you mean three? What a
three.
Miracle.
You found a three pack, like
you just ripped off the ones you wanted.
I ripped it off.
God, man, I don't like
jerk.
When people do that.
Oh, you're not
just
supposed to do that?
Just buy the pack, man. Buy
the
bunch.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah. Well, they all usually will break it up. So there are like multiple options and stuff.
People do that. Rip them off, but
you can.
But then you just left like two there.
Did
on
you
the
rip
shelf.
Off like three individual bananas from three different?
No,
bunches?
No. I grabbed three out of like five or six.
That's okay.
Why wouldn't you just buy the five or six?
Because there's no way I'm going to eat five or six.
I eat a banana every day. I buy bananas like every 3 days. And
listen,
to hear you say you haven't bought a banana in 10 years.
Probably about 10. Yeah.
That's not a good thing,
but what
man.
About,
that's a fruit.
Also, just
that's
that
a healthy fruit.
Figure out how to what
and you didn't know how
banana
to,
is like period
like,
without
don't
having
buy,
it.
Don't buy the rotten ones. That's how you.
It's pretty simple.
Do it.
Like,
well,
does it fall
I know,
apart in your hand?
I,
no.
Yeah,
all right, we're good.
I'm just looking for a little help, a little direction. I mean, my God, I'm just trying to be healthier.
So
aren't you 43?
Yes. Yes.
That's a question I would ask expect my daughter to ask me. Like,
look,
Daddy.
No, I know.
I need
no, actually, my daughter
banana?
Wouldn't ask that.
Yeah,
she knows.
She'd figure it out.
I need bananas to help me. Trust me. I need bananas to help
me.
Oh,
we believe it, buddy. You probably need more than just bananas.
Yeah, well, I looked some stuff up online. Bananas can help me for one specific
issue. Oh, God. So. By the way, 215-238-4500, time's yours on Joe buying a banana.
Let's go to the
maybe we can get someone to actually reenact Joe at the store
asking. How long has it been? prior to buying these bananas since you've eaten a banana?
I mean, I can't remember, honestly.
Oh, my God. Wait, so you haven't had a banana in like a decade?
I mean, I don't know when I would have. I don't know why I would have. I'm not a big fan of bananas.
That's so crazy. Well, remember, like, for those who weren't with the show when this happened, we forced Joe to eat a strawberry for the first time. When was that, 2017?
About then, yeah, probably.
It's one of the great videos of all time, is Joe. Not even eating, like attempting to eat a strawberry.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Mike right now. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, Mike.
I love the analysis on this show. But there is something that's being left out of the conversation, and I think it's the offensive coordinator position. Is it possible that Nick Sirianni does not have a deep playbook? He's not creative. And, you know, a lot of I really wanted to sort of ask John this question because he played for Andy Reid, who is obviously a master, you know, who is dedicated and a mastermind when it comes to offense. He realistically changed the way the Eagles played from the 90s into the 2000s. It was a totally different scheme and look, and it was creative, and it was innovative. And I just see the Eagles taking a step backwards with this guy. It's just slow developing, very elementary. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I didn't like what they were doing. Remember when we started the year against the Falcons, it looked like a college passing attack, and we're going to throw the ball to the periphery every snap. Like, it felt like a bunch of bubble screens and rocket stuff, you know, and like hitches and just quick college-y looking things. I didn't like that approach, but, you know, we got away from it. I don't think Nick Sirianni is a dud in terms of his football acumen. I think that's probably what he's best with. But he is trying to, you know, through the process of evaluating these players and understanding what they do best, to put them in the best position possible. And by, you know, week 8, he was finally doing that. So the playbook, it's like we had a few different playbooks this season. And they didn't settle in on the right playbook until it was, you know, almost too late. But at least he settled in on the right playbook. Like, I think he does a good job as a schemer.
Well, he settled into the right playbook to beat teams that weren't
true
playoff caliber teams.
Very true.
But, you know, going against a playoff caliber team, I would rather see an Andy Reid playbook than the playbook we got.
And I think that he was hesitant to go to a lot of plays because he didn't have faith in the quarterback being able to get the ball out, get the ball accurately there.
Yep.
So he was hindered a little bit by the inexperience and the shortcomings of this quarterback, which I don't think will always be the shortcomings of this quarterback. I do think he'll get better.
I do think he will.
And by the way, Mike, I think, you know, something that I thought was a pretty interesting tip today, and we'll play this full interview with Sirianni with Angelo at 12:45, but Sirianni actually details today and this is not a shock, but I thought it was interesting that he said it, that by design, the Eagles' plays were generally geared to go to either DeVonta Smith or Dallas Goedert. And the implication being, as he presents it, well, Quez is 3 and Rager is 4, just didn't get the ball that much. Well, part of the reason is because the quarterback, unlike the really great quarterbacks, goes from read 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. This quarterback just doesn't get to reads 3 or 4 very often. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was kind of a forthcoming moment in the interview this morning with Angelo that Sirianni said that, kind of offered that up on his own. Mike, give us something that's back. What do you got here?
Racquetball.
Is it really?
Did it ever go away? I mean, people always played racquetball.
Yeah, I don't know that to be –
I don't know.
Here, gone, and back.
Yeah, I think racquetball is just racquetball.
Yeah, I don't think so. Salvador in Coatesville. What's up, Salvador?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Salvador.
Yeah, I still don't have any confidence in this coach. I'm not feeling the coach. I feel like he's going to bring back Jonathan Gannon. He's going to bring back the same staff.
Well, that would be discouraging. I think this team would be so much better with Vic Fangio as our defensive coordinator. You know, that's what I'm hoping for. And you have to take some solace in the fact that this team does believe in this coach, though, don't you?
Sure. Yeah.
Nah. I don't.
Really?
I feel like they'll buy into somebody else. If we bring in somebody that has some kind of background, you know, already coaching, I feel like they'll buy into him too.
I mean, I don't know. Does it feel like Dallas buys into Mike McCarthy?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
who's going to buy into Mike McCarthy, yeah, man? He's been a failure.
Yeah, he just messes up. I mean, I don't know if it's about buying or not buying, but he just messes up game moment. Mike McCarthy might be a good preparer for games. I don't know. But I just know in games, like, that's one thing Sirianni did very well, I thought. I thought he did. I mean, he messed up the Bucs game with a lack of adjustments. But his when to go for it on fourth down, his challenges, I thought, yeah, Sirianni was pretty darn good with that stuff.
He took too long to adjust, though. Like, you shouldn't have to wait until halftime.
Yeah.
But, well, it was most of the time, most of the games.
Yeah, it was.
I don't feel like
you should have to wait until halftime. But they're doing that every play. Like, when I hear this adjustments thing, like, this has been the buzzword of this season. I don't know if everyone says the defensive adjustments. Yeah, we made defensive adjustments. That was awesome.
Selling a little. Or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Everyone talks about offensive adjustments that weren't made against Tampa. Sometimes it doesn't look like an adjustment is made if the quarterback doesn't throw it to the open guy.
Yeah, well, listen, two things I'll say on that. One is they did score more after their first possession than on their first possession, like, all year. I mean, possessions 2 and 3, I bet you if we looked them up, they just scored more on than possession 1. Now, I don't know why.
Hold on. Say that again.
Whether it's possession 2 or possession 3 or possession, like, they
we
were
started
they started slow.
They started
consistently.
Slow. Yes. So,
doesn't that seem like adjustments were made to you?
Well, yes.
Look, I think part of the problem is the first 15 plays we weren't getting production from those.
Well, but that's
in many cases.
But a lot of times it's cuz they weren't running the ball in those 15 plays enough. I mean, you can say it's an adjustment to run it. I would say it was stupid not to run it early most of the games. I mean, that's how I look at it.
But that's not an adjustment.
Well, it is an adjustment. What type of play you call? I mean, it's a run instead of a pass. It's a percentage of runs.
I could kind of deal with Nick next year, but we got to change the DC, man. Did you hear Tom Brady on the first drive when he gets down to the red zone talking about alert, 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 and then they just run into the field. Like, they just run in.
They knew exactly what they were.
All right, Salvador, give us something that's back. What do you got?
The run game. The run game's back.
You know, that's a pretty good answer.
It's not a bad answer at all. I like that.
It has kind of swung back to the run game in pro football.
Some of what you're saying here, like the fact that we didn't run the ball enough for your taste early.
Or your taste, by the way.
I agree. Okay. But our offense, it's tough to – our offense is an RPO-based offense still, like, to some degree, like, whether we run or pass is dictated by what the defense shows us.
Right, but you know.
Defenses come into games and say, we would prefer they throw it.
Yeah.
So let's show this look.
Well,
that's what was happening a lot of that time.
Sure.
And you know, like, we have an offense. It is what it is. Like, the RPO stuff, it's not rocket science. Defenses know how to adjust themselves.
But I would say this.
Give what they want to defend.
But other than the Tampa game to end the season, in the second half of the season, when the Eagles ran it, they ran it successfully. I mean, they just weren't stopped. They just weren't. And so I just was frustrated that the Eagles didn't run it more.
I wanted them to run it, but I know, I think we can both agree that in order for this offense to be the elite offense we hope it becomes, you're going to have to be able to do whatever is necessary.
Well, I agree.
Run it or pass
it. For sure.
Efficiently, effectively. Yes. You're going to have a quarterback who can make every throw.
And they were
who knows what he's looking at.
Yes.
And we don't have that. So Nick was working.
I agree.
With a handicap.
And he was also trying to develop Jalen, which is why
yeah.
you know you're letting him test the waters a little bit as well. All right, speaking of Jalen, let's get to Sirianni and Howie from yesterday. We'll play a couple of clips here, a couple of pieces of audio, questions and answers from yesterday. John and I thought that the endorsement of Jalen as the starting quarterback by Howie and Nick was essentially forced by Ruben Frank, and I don't mean this in a good or bad. I mean, I thought it was good that Ruben did a good job.
No, not by Howie and Nick. By Howie. The endorsement by Howie.
For sure.
I think Nick, but my takeaway was Nick is a lot more on board with Jalen Hurts than Howie Ruben.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I think Sirianni said what he said because Howie earlier had said, oh, yeah, he's our quarterback. So then Sirianni's going to be like, yeah, he's our quarterback. They both know he's the quarterback until he's not.
I think Nick really loves this quarterback.
I don't. I can't fathom after that.
I think he believes that he can grow into the
quarterback
we all want.
He's 23, Joe. The can't fathom thing, like you keep saying that, you got to understand there are other people who think a 23-year-old can get better.
No, that's not what I just said.
You're
can't
saying
fathom.
I can't fathom Nick Sirianni's a fan of Jalen. Why should you fathom that?
No, what I can't fathom is that Nick Sirianni, after that playoff game, says, I know for sure I want this guy to be my quarterback.
For next season.
No, I don't think he's saying that.
James. Joe, it's his job. He prides himself on being able to teach football. He is a football coach.
Yeah.
He looks at Jalen and says, man, this guy's got a lot I can work with. If I do my job, he can become a great quarterback. Like, I think he looks at it like that, and I think it comes across in the way he talks about it.
Listen to Sirianni and Howie yesterday. We'll go one by one here. The key questions asked about the quarterback position.
Hey, guys, a question for Howie to start off. Howie, have you seen enough from Jalen this year to feel comfortable with him as your quarterback moving into the future?
And you know, we talk about Jalen and the growth he had, really first-year starter, second-year player, leading this team to the playoffs, tremendously impressed by his work ethic, his leadership. The last time we talked, was during camp, and we said we wanted to see him take the bull by the horn, and he certainly did that.
All right, so that's a total non-answer. That's the first time.
That is so – I mean, like, I can't help but, like, chuckle when I listen to that.
Yeah.
It's such a ruse.
It's a non-answer.
Just an answer,
It's fine. He doesn't want to give an answer, and he's thinking, hey, I might not be pressed with a follow-up, but Howie was pressed with a follow-up.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
Okay, so then, I mean, at that point, what's he going to say? Of course he's going to say yes.
Right.
Not going to say no.
Right.
And the only other option is, well, I'm not sure. We'll see based on how the offseason plays out. And he doesn't really want to say that. So there's an endorsement, but I would say it was forced. The press conference continues.
Hey, Howie, just for clarity's sake regarding the quarterback, are you going into this offseason with the mindset that Jalen Hurts is your quarterback in 2022?
Yes, I think for us, we got to do whatever we can to continue to help him develop. And how do we do that? By surrounding him with really good players. Players continue to grow. That's a huge part of developing. They grow how they are in their second year is not how they're going to be in year 4, 5, 6, and 7. And they're also products of the people around them. So that's on us to continue to build this team.
Now, there's nothing about that answer that convinces me Hurts is definitely the starter next year. What he's saying there is, well, shoot, a couple minutes ago I told you yes to the last question. And yes, he's the most likely to be the quarterback. And yes, we're trying to help him improve because if he's our quarterback, we want him to be the best he can be. But that doesn't mean he's actually definitely going to be the quarterback. The press conference continues from there.
Have you communicated to Jalen that he will be the starting quarterback going into next season? And will you address with him what's probably going to be endless rumors about you pursuing someone else?
As far as the first part, Jalen knows where he stands with us. You know, he knows he's our quarterback. You know, that's how do you know where you stand with a coaching staff? Because you communicate and you talk over and over and over and over again. And so Jalen knows where he stands with us. I thought he did a great job of getting better throughout the year, as we've talked about. And so, yeah, there's no secrets there. He knows he's our guy.
And a fine answer. And he is their guy. He is their guy. Doesn't mean he will be their guy. I mean, that's the thing. You know, I'm there's very little of this that convinces me of anything other than the fact that they want to publicly express that Jalen Hurts is their guy. Doesn't mean he will be the guy. A really good question near the end of the press conference about the whole matter.
Hey, Howie, question for you. I know last year at this time, in this kind of press conference, you were asked a lot about Carson Wentz's future. And I believe you said that you couldn't see kind of like your fingers not being without him. Then obviously things changed with the outcome there. So I wonder if there are any scenarios that could arise this time around where you've already given a commitment to Jalen Hurts as your starter, but could that, for football reasons, could that change?
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. You know, second person today who's reminded me about my fingers on my hands comment, you know, must come from having a lot of kids. You know, I think that when you look at any position, opportunities come about in this league. And I'm certainly not talking about the quarterback position, where you have to make decisions about what's best for the franchise. And I think last year with Carson, we had to figure out going forward what really made the most sense, you know, when we got the offer that we did. And so certainly that changed there. I understand that. But us right now, we're in this mode of trying to build this team and trying to build this team and get as many talented players that we possibly can to compete for championships going forward. And we have a great opportunity to do that this offseason to keep building.
All right, there it is. I mean, you be the judge. What you interpret from that as it pertains to their thoughts process on the quarterback position during the offseason moving toward 2022. I'm not convinced that they are locked in with Jalen Hurts at all. I'm not convinced of that at all.
But I am convinced that what he's envisioning when he's answering that question, when he's talking about building around Jalen Hurts, you know, there is part of him that's saying, well, I did just say, yes, I am confident in him being our quarterback. So I'm thinking about how much better he could be with a Jamar Chase to throw to.
Of course.
No, with an Allen Robinson to throw to, as well as Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
You know, you look around this league, you look at Josh Allen up in Buffalo and how much better he miraculously became when he got a great wide receiver in Stephon Diggs to add to the mix. I think that's part of what he's envisioning when he's answering that.
I'm sure. Here's my thing, though. There's a big headline on ESPN.com yesterday and all sorts of national publications that the Eagles, you know, there's various ways it was presented. Eagles name Hurts starter for 2022. Eagles expect Hurts to be starter in 2022. All that sort of stuff. None of those headlines would have existed. None of them. If Ruben Frank had not asked a phenomenal follow-up question that essentially pinned Howie down. Because my interpretation is Howie's intent going into that press conference was not to have it nailed down.
Right.
But he was asked a follow-up question, so he had no choice but to go
there. I think he knew, though. I mean, even if Ruben didn't ask it, Tim was going to ask it, obviously, because he re-asked it, he re-followed up. Like, I think there was no way Howie Roseman was getting out of that press conference without being followed up on
maybe.
That.
But sometimes the reporters don't say what they should, and sometimes a guy gets left off the hook. Anyway, you be the judge, your interpretation of what you heard. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Josh right now in Manayunk. Hey, Josh.
Yeah, guys, I absolutely agree with you. I think Howie, you know, he spins all the time. No one really knows what he's thinking. Obviously, his fingers analogy I thought was gross last year.
What does that have to do with having a lot of kids?
I had the same thought. I was like, what does that even mean? Having kids have your fingers analogy?
And by the way, let's be real. Guys, let's really—
I don't make that analogy, and I have a lot of kids.
Let's peel back the onion for a second. Howie said, and then Josh, I want to get you back to your point here, but Howie said that you're the second person today to bring it up to me. Who was the first? obviously an Eagles staffer.
100%.
Who prepared Howie for the press conference, said, hey, Howie, remember.
You're going to get asked this.
Oh, that's a great point.
12 months ago.
Because I was trying to think back. Oh, like,
that was my first thought.
What, you think the person at Wawa said it to
Joe,
him?
Joe, I had the exact same thought.
Oh, I was thinking, like, earlier in the press conference, someone brought up the fingers on a hand.
Earlier in the day in the prep process, so he was armed with that reality to be able to answer it if asked about it. That's how it happens. Josh, go ahead, man.
No, I just think how you can't trust them. But here's the obvious fact, guys. Do I think they need a better quarterback? Yes, I do. But the reality is I don't trust what's out there or what's in the draft. So why not give this guy like a free agent receiver like Allen Robinson or somewhere else that they can actually see what this guy has? I mean, with all due respect, Jalen Reagor, we know what he is. He's terrible. Him and J.J. are on the right side. They should be bagging groceries instead of playing football. Yeah. But they've got to give him some help around him. That, let's see. Hey, we brought in a free agent receiver. Hey, it didn't work out. You know what? There's a better draft class of quarterbacks next year coming out that we can start looking at and evaluating then. I personally don't want to take a gamble on a 32 or 33-year-old Russell Wilson and give up a lot of draft capital for someone that's overpaid and overpriced, personally.
All right. Josh, what do you got on the Sixers?
If they don't make a move by the deadline, they have pissed away this season with Embiid. He's too talented not to give him some help to make a run in a league that there's so much parity right now, especially in the East.
Yeah,
I really believe
the
that.
East,
they gotta
the
do
East
stuff.
Is down. If they can make an upgrade, they can. They have a shot to make the finals, which I did not think a month ago.
And you know what? Silent T stinks. I would love to get rid of Silent T out of here as soon as possible.
Who's Tobias that? Who's that, Tobias? That's right.
Silent T.
All right, Josh, what's back?
How about I coach a bunch of guys at high school, and you know what they're doing? They're rolling their jeans up and ducking them into their socks like we used to do.
Wow. All right,
buddy. The Joe DeCamera.
Yeah, the pegging of the jeans.
Oh, man.
If you say so.
Rolling them up into the socks. That's a Joe. Like, that's
Joe. Yeah,
Joe
did that instead of boots.
I did that a couple nights ago when I was going to bed. I remember I was cold.
What?
And I had sweatpants on.
What?
Yeah.
So you sleep in sweatpants?
Not often, but I did that night.
Okay.
And I had, you don't want to, it was the kind of sweatpants that can roll up the leg. Some sweatpants kind of sit at the bottom of the leg, but some are the more flimsy kind that they can roll up.
Have the elastic.
Yeah, there. Exactly. So what I did is I also put socks on, put the socks over the sweatpants. That way I was all snug. I was snug for my
comfort.
Night's rest.
It's where you need that comfort.
He swaddled himself.
He swaddled himself.
in a manger.
You swaddled yourself.
A lot in a manger. Let's go to John in Southampton. Yo, John.
Oh, hi, guys. Good morning.
Hey, John.
Good morning.
That was funny. I can't stop laughing.
Tell you that Richie, man, he's like a Richard Pryor over there. He's got one-liners.
What's going on with you guys?
It's all good, man. I mean, you know, we're
it's just Joe. Do you have any time off coming?
Because sure hope so.
You got to go get your hearing checked, man.
Huh?
He does.
What I hear out of that, it's all good. We're good.
You asked me about us. We're okay. I mean, if you're saying the Philly sports scene, I mean, a lot's not good.
No, I'm talking about the Eagles. We're good. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
We're good. We're going to be great. This is what's going down. We have a maturation process between Sirianni and Hurts. You can see, John, and you were right when I was listening to you on Sunday night. It's his footwork. If you ever watch him, how many times does he throw the ball off his back foot? And it doesn't have any zip. And guys can run under it. They have to correct these problems.
And they can. They are correctable. You know,
yes,
those
they're
mechanics.
Correctable, especially in a 23-year-old cheap quarterback.
Yeah.
You got a cheap quarterback. And he's, you know, let me just get this point in, and then I'll shut up. If you want to know an answer to a question, what question should have been asked in that room was, how come Boston Scott only got one carry?
It's a good question, man.
Only six snaps.
Six snaps. And I look at that and I say, now, is this because Roseman wants Sanders to carry the ball because he thinks that Sanders could be trade bait? all kinds of different things run through
my
mind.
I actually think they just think Miles Sanders is better and maybe way better, and I just think they're wrong. I don't think this one's as tricky as, you know, hey, we drafted him in the second round. I don't think it's that. I just – because, John, here's the thing. Most Eagles fans, because we've done polls on this, we've done shows on this, most Eagles fans think Miles Sanders is way better than Boston Scott. John, yeah. John and I just flat out disagree with that.
I don't either. I think this guy has more. He has more pop going into the line. I think, and he's a smaller guy. You know, what I mean, it's
and he's certainly better catching the ball.
Yes, he's got better hands.
Yep. John, give me something that's back. What do you got here?
I just wanted to make a quick Sixers point.
Yes, sir.
Who's out there that we can grab? I mean, you know.
Look, I think the team to keep your eye on the most is the Kings. The Kings have multiple players.
Are we going to get Buddy Hield?
Hield won't even be the centerpiece. If they trade with the Kings, the centerpiece will probably be either De'Aaron Fox or it'll be Halliburton. I can tell you I like Halliburton more for sure.
Big time with you on that, Jeff.
I've been watching the Kings.
Halliburton's legit.
He's pretty damn good.
Yeah, and he can do everything. He can shoot. You know, he can.
He's young. He's in his second year.
He's really good.
He's pretty good, John. Hield and Barnes could be complementary pieces. Obviously, it gets more complicated if Tobias is in the deal. Keep your eye on Indiana. They got a bunch of players, although they're not guards, that could be trade bait. Look, there are a lot of different options here still, but I think the Kings feels like maybe the most likely scenario.
Okay. Actually, it's a shame they couldn't have robbed the bank and kept Jimmy Butler.
Well,
but anyway,
it was a total mess up. Give me something that's back, John.
Something that's back is a three-piece suit.
Three-piece suit, is it?
I don't know.
I don't sense that.
I don't. I'm in our line of work. We don't see people
tell you
in
what,
suits
when
that often.
I was just watching Lewis Riddick wear a three-piece suit.
So maybe it is
for that game on Monday.
Well, I'll tell you who does not wear a three-piece suit. I mean, for sure. There's this guy on CBS3 Sunday nights at 11:30 named John Ritchie. I gotta tell you, his wardrobe. Use an upgrade.
So I just Googled it.
Not going to be upgraded.
Yeah, we know. Dude, Richie's won the same thing for the 5+ years we've known him.
Yeah.
Three-piece suits are back in fashion, apparently. All he is right about that. I just Googled it. Apparently it's a thing. They're, like, cool again.
There you go. All right, let's go to Dan in Philadelphia. Hey, Dan.
Gentlemen, how are we today?
Doing great, Dan.
So I think you're kind of off with this let's try to get another quarterback. Obviously, they said we'll trade Aaron Rodgers for Jalen Reagor. You do it. But Boomer Esiason reported this morning that Russell Wilson, he's not going anywhere. He's staying in Seattle. They're going to try to work out a max deal. They don't want him to leave. And if you think about it, more often than not over the past 10 years, it's been random quarterbacks that made it to the Super Bowl. Like, I mean, obviously Tom Brady's always there. Mahomes made it twice. But you didn't see Russell Wilson make it. You didn't see Aaron Rodgers make it to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, it would be great to have him. But I think with this particular rare instance where you can actually build probably 3/4 of your team with these picks, I think you go with that and hope that you have a good to have a little bit above average quarterback in Jalen Hurts. And
it's something to consider. I'm not pushing aside your argument. I mean, I too am intrigued by the idea of adding 3 players, particularly if they're all on defense, and just remaking that side of the ball. But, I mean, you do know enough to know you got – I mean, with limited exceptions – you need to have a quality quarterback to win the Super Bowl. Again, there are a couple of exceptions to the rules, but they are few and far between.
But you also need to have a quality team to win the Super Bowl.
Hasn't won it in so many years.
Say it again, Dan.
How come Aaron Rodgers hasn't even been to the Super Bowl since?
Well, I mean, he's lost big games. He's played not as good in big games. So you know that's part of it. I mean, look, you're going to see
It's in part because his teams are held back because he makes so much money.
That
Joe,
is,
you
yeah,
keep saying you have to have a great quarterback to go to the Super Bowl in most cases.
Yep.
Yes, but in every case, you have a great team. Every case.
Takes,
and we don't have
all
a great
the time
team.
To keep his team. To keep his
yeah,
team
but I would
around.
Say this, Dan. Green Bay's got a great team this year, and Aaron Rodgers makes a lot of money.
That's out of drafting.
Well, I mean, you know,
Devontae Adams, he's not gonna stay there after the season. He's out of there. There's no way they can afford to pay both of them.
Yeah, you might be right.
Adams taking 11 picks after Jordan Matthews. For those who didn't know,
he can stay there if they franchise him.
God. Well, but then Dan's point is, then they're going to lose other people. Which, yeah, I mean, it gets complicated. We know that. Dan, give me something that's back.
All right, so back in 1996, I believe it was, it came out full force when Joe's Dating Game took his cousin to the prom. And then it just faded away ever since. Then you're back in full effect.
Good Lord. So what am I
Joe's writing down? Dating life.
My dating life.
It was gone for a long time. Now it's back. Full force.
Was he saying something about?
What?
You're not related to Amy.
No. I think it was just implying that there'd be a gal that would actually be, you know, interested in going out with me. I mean, just for I want to be clear for anyone that, you know, misconstrues. When Dan referenced me taking, I won't even say the sentence because then James will cut the audio. Taking a certain someone to the prom. It wasn't actually my cousin. It was my cousin's friend.
Sure.
Cousin's friend.
We believe you.
Yeah. Joe Cameron, John Ritchie, 215-592-9494. Up ahead, the King, Howard Eskin, his assessment on Sirianni and the Birds after Sirianni and Hurts' first year together here in Philly and the future of the Eagles. We'll talk to Howard about all that next on 94 WIP. Hey, let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook because, of course, we got some big games coming up, even though it doesn't involve our team here locally. Each win means that the more goes on in the NFL playoffs, and that's why FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is hooking new customers up with 30-to-1 enhanced odds for the divisional round. 30-to-1 odds. What does that mean? That means you can bet. Now think about this: $5, and if you pick the winning team, and of course you can pick any team you want in any of these divisional round games. After betting $5 and winning, you win $150. That's what 30-to-1 odds mean. And that's what you get with FanDuel Sportsbook when you sign up using promo code HAMMER. Promo code HAMMER. Sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook. Make your deposit to claim 30-to-1 odds. No better place to bet the NFL playoffs. FanDuel Sportsbook. Well, you know, an app easy to use. Generous promotions every day. Safe and secure. And when you win, they get you paid faster. Winnings in as little as 2 hours. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 94 WIP. Plus, FanDuel is hooking all customers up with $50 when you refer a friend. Plus, your friend will get $50 as well. Two great opportunities, two of many, with FanDuel Sportsbook when you sign up using promo code HAMMER with FanDuel Sportsbook.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.